Chapter 47, Satan, the Accuser, Christ, the Defender. Because Israel had been chosen to preserve the knowledge of God and the earth, Satan was determined to cause their destruction. While they were obedient, he could do them no harm, therefore he had bent all his power and cunning to entice them into sin. Ensnared, they had transgressed and had become the prey of their enemies. Yet God did not forsake them. He sent his prophets with warnings and aroused them to see their guilt. When they returned to him with true repentance, he sent messages of encouragement, declaring that he would deliver them from captivity and once more establish them in their own land. Now that this restoration had begun and a remnant had already returned to Judea, Satan was determined to frustrate the divine purpose. To this end, he was seeking to move upon the heathen nations to destroy them. But in this crisis, the Lord strengthened his people with good words and comfortable words. Through an impressive illustration, he showed the power of Christ, their mediator, to vanquish Satan, the accuser of his people. Joshua the high priest, clothed with filthy garments, stands before the angel of the Lord. As he pleads for the fulfillment of God's promises, Satan points to the transgressions of Israel as a reason why they should not be restored to the favor of God. He claims them as his prey and demands that they be given into his hands. The high priest does not claim that Israel is free from fault. In filthy garments, symbolizing the sins of the people which he bears as their representative, he stands before the angel, confessing their guilt yet pointing to their repentance, and in faith relying on the mercy of a sin-pardoning Redeemer. Then the angel, who is Christ the Savior of sinners, puts to silence the accuser. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Because of their sins Israel had been well nigh consumed in the flame kindled by Satan and his agents for their destruction, but God had now set his hand to bring them forth. As the intercession of Joshua is accepted, the command is given, "Take away the filthy garments from him," and to Joshua the angel says, "I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." So they clothed him with garments. His sins and those of his people were pardoned. Israel was clothed with change of raiment, the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. Notwithstanding Joshua's former transgressions, he was now qualified to minister before God in his sanctuary. If obedient, he should be honored as the judge, or the ruler, over the temple and should walk among attending angels even in this life. At last he should join the glorified throng around the throne of God. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, I will bring forth my servant the branch. In the branch, the deliverer to come, lay the hope of Israel." By faith in the coming Savior, Joshua and his people had received pardon and had been restored to God's favor. By virtue of his merits, they would be honored as the chosen of heaven among the nations of earth. In all ages, Satan is the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before our God day and night. Over every soul rescued from the power of evil, the controversy is repeated. Never is one received into the family of God without exciting the determined resistance of the enemy. But he who was the defense of Israel, their justification and redemption, is the hope of the church today. How Satan works. Satan's accusations against those who seek the Lord are not prompted by displeasure at their sins. He exults in their defective characters, for he knows that only through their transgression of God's law can he obtain power over them. His accusations arise solely from enmity to Christ. As he beholds the evidences of Christ's supremacy, he works to wrest from him those who have accepted salvation. He leads men to lose confidence in God and separate from his love. He tempts them to break the law and then claims them as his captives, contesting Christ's right to take them from him. Satan knows that those who ask for pardon will obtain it, therefore he presents their sins before them to discourage them. Even their best service he seeks to make appear corrupt. By countless devices, subtle and cruel, he he endeavors to secure their condemnation. In his own strength, man cannot meet the charges of the enemy. But Jesus, our advocate, presents an effectual plea in behalf of all who by repentance and faith commit their souls to him. By the mighty arguments of Calvary he vanquishes their accuser. His perfect obedience to God's law has given him all power in heaven and earth, and to the accuser of his people he declares, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. These are the purchase of my blood, brands plucked from the burning." See. And to those who rely on him in faith he gives the assurance, "I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment." All who have put on the robe of Christ's righteousness will stand faithful and true. The promise given to Joshua is given to all: "If you will keep my charge, I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here." RSV. Angels will walk on either side of them even in this world, and they will stand at last among the angels that surround the throne of God. Zechariah's vision applies with peculiar force to God's people in the closing scenes of the great Day of Atonement. The remnant will then be brought into great distress. Those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus will feel the ire of the dragon and his hosts. Here is a little company resisting his supremacy. If he could blot them from the earth, his triumph would be complete. In the near future he will stir up the wicked powers of earth to destroy the people of God. Those who are true to God will be denounced and proscribed. They will be betrayed both by parents, and brethren, and kinsfolks, and friends, even unto death. As Joshua pleaded before the angel, so the remnant church, with brokenness of heart and unfaltering faith, will plead for pardon and deliverance through Jesus their advocate. They are fully conscious of their sinfulness and unworthiness, and they are ready to despair. Satan tries to discourage God's people. The tempter stands by to accuse them. He points to their filthy garments, their defective characters, their weakness and folly, their sins of ingratitude, their unlikeness to Christ, which have dishonored their Redeemer. He endeavors to frighten them with the thought that their case is hopeless. He hopes that they will yield to his temptations and turn from their allegiance to God. Satan has an accurate knowledge of the sins he has tempted God's people to commit, and he urges his accusations against them. He declares that by their sins they have forfeited divine protection. They are as deserving as himself of exclusion from the favor of God. "Are these," he says, "to take my place in heaven, and the place of the angels who united with me? They profess to obey the law of God, but have they not been lovers of self? Have they not placed their own interests above God's service? Have they not loved the things of the world? Look at their selfishness, their malice, their hatred of one another. Justice demands that sentence be pronounced against them." But the followers of Christ have repented of their sins and sought the Lord in contrition, and the divine advocate pleads in their behalf. He who has been most abused by their ingratitude declares, "I gave my life for these souls. They may have imperfections of character, but they have repented, and I have forgiven and accepted them." The assaults of Satan are strong. The flames of the furnace seem about to consume God's people, but Jesus will bring them forth as gold tried in the fire. Their earthliness will be removed, that through them the image of Christ may be perfectly revealed. At times the Lord may seem to have forgotten his church, but nothing in the world is so dear to the heart of God. He does not leave his people to be overcome by Satan's temptations. He will punish those who misrepresent him, but he will be gracious to all who repent. In the time of the end the people of God will sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. With tears they will warn the wicked of their danger in trampling on the divine law, and they will humble themselves before the Lord in penitence. The wicked will ridicule their solemn appeals. But the anguish of God's people is evidence that they are regaining the nobility of character lost in consequence of sin. It is because they are drawing nearer to Christ, because their eyes are fixed on his perfect purity, that they discern clearly the sinfulness of sin. A crown of glory awaits those who bow at the foot of the cross. God's faithful, praying ones know not how securely they are shielded. Urged on by Satan, the rulers of this world seek to destroy them, but could the eyes of God's children be opened, they would see angels encamped about them. As the people of God plead for purity of heart, the spotless robe of Christ's righteousness is placed on them. The despised remnant are clothed in glorious apparel, nevermore to be defiled by the corruptions of the world. Their names are retained in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have resisted the wiles of the deceiver. Now they are eternally secure, their sins transferred to the originator of sin. The blotting out of sins. While Satan has been urging his accusations, holy angels, unseen, have been placing on the faithful ones the seal of God. These stand on Mount Zion, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. They sing that song which no one can learn save the 144, O redeemed from the earth. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault. Now is reached the complete fulfillment of the words of the angel to Joshua, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Christ is revealed as the Redeemer and Deliverer of his people. Now are the remnant men wondered at as the tears and humiliation of their pilgrimage give place to joy and honor in the presence of God and the Lamb. See.